summoning hour.
Hello and welcome back to the 61st episode of the summoning hour with me, your host, Warlock Recall. Joining me this week were a number of members from the University of British Columbia's Esports Association. They are primarily located in the Vancouver area, but welcome many other people to their events as well, not just students. Joining me this week was Arno, Kai, Kevin, and Amanda, all of them having varying roles and huge responsibilities within their community and extending outside the class and outside of the college, which I thought was a great aspect to hear about how much they are not just tied to their esports scene, which is how I got involved and how I learned about them. Speaking of how I discovered this group, you have to go check out a short documentary about the Vancouver esports scene called Smash Forward. It was created by a group called Story Hive. The synopsis of the documentary is, enter Vancouver's esports scene on the cusp to unstoppable growth. Meet the grassroots community's colorful personalities as they tell all on what it took to get this far and how video games pushed them to be their best, build lifelong friendships, and make the most of their personal growth. So check that out. Absolutely. It's on YouTube. It's 20 minutes long, and I highly, highly recommend giving it a watch. And this week's musical guest is RuneStrike with their latest and greatest song called Never Lie to Me. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Summoning Hour podcast. This is going to be episode 61, I think. So we're getting up there in numbers. I might actually hit 100 faster than I thought I would. So, but tonight I am talking with members of the University of British Columbia Esports Association, and they're primarily located in Vancouver, but they are open to anyone else joining in on their events. So say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going? I like how we all just chimed in.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. Everyone kind of one at a time chimed in, and it was this nice little chorus kind of going on.
It was great.
Now, let's start at the top of my Discord. Aimed, or Arno, why don't you kick us off with your introduction?
Yeah, hi. Well, my name is Arno Dion. My tag is Aimed. I'm the president of the UBC Esports Association for this year. I'm a geological engineering major. I'm currently on co-op and for the whole year. So I'm going to be balancing that and balancing president. I pretty much overlook all operations, make sure everyone's doing their job. I'm one of the contacts for the sponsors. I'm one of the contacts directly to UBC. And the outside world. And yeah, that's pretty much my role. Yeah.
So I guess I'm next. Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm the VP Communications for the upcoming year. So I'm basically just in charge of social media and marketing. I just saw your tweet, so I retweeted that. Haha. And previously, I was involved in the club as the League of Legends director, where I was in charge of like fostering the community. Yeah, just I think like really planning events and, you know, trying to bring the community out to get to know each other. Yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm next. Hi, my name is Kai, and I am the current VP Internal Relations. This means that I basically deal with any possible partnerships with other clubs, with UBC itself and AMS as well. And yeah, I used to be the former high school program manager, which meant that I was working with the high schools in Metro Vancouver to help grow their esports clubs. And I was also the gaming lounge manager, which meant that I was running our UBC gaming lounge that is on campus right now.
Okay, and looks like I'm last. So I'm Kevin. I'm the vice president of human resources for UBC Esports Association. And my primary role in the club is to, first I facilitate the recruitment and kind of like the management of the executive members of the club. So like, you know, it's the body of students that are like working hard to bring these events to life. And aside from that, it's also like conflict management, making sure everybody's like having fun. We do a lot of like planning for team socials and making sure that just like the team culture and the bond is like really healthy and really vibrant, because that's so important. And like, especially like a youth group, like UBC Esports Association. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm a third year computer science major, and this is my second year in a club.
Awesome. Well, welcome everyone. And I have to say, I found out because I saw a couple of your members in a video that highlighted the FTC efforts going on up in Vancouver, I believe it was. And it was a phenomenal video. I tweeted about it like a week or so ago. I wish I had dug it up for this, because everyone needs to watch this video. And it is legit about how much effort goes into making esports a community thing and how it's beneficial. I know that's a lot in the news, especially on the Twitter sphere, with trending hashtags about gamers are good. And that video really just emphasized it a lot, teaching about mental health awareness and being a part of a community. And so I just want to call out and say thank you to each one of you for spending your time to be building a hospitable and welcoming community for gamers and non-gamers alike to come out and play, because now more than ever it seems like we need each other and to be standing up as a community in a time, especially in this East, where everything is going on with all the mass violence and all of that. So thank you for doing your part. You all are bringing in a new time, a new era of gamers with the rise of collegiate esports. So you all are doing a lot of really fine work, even though I've just started meeting you, but hearing your roles and the legitimacy behind them and the responsibilities behind them, whether it's running the gaming lounge or high school outreach or working out with communications and everyone internally to the college, you're building a very strong central nervous system for everything going forward for the next several years. So quick thank you, quick plug, and just saying I really appreciate the effort that everyone in collegiate esports is going through right now.
Oh, that's really kind of you. Thank you.
Now, how did you all fall into collegiate esports or esports in general? It's not exactly an everyday kind of thing, and it's not necessarily what every gamer wants to do. So why did you take the challenge to step up and become one of those executive roles or kind of the leaders at UBC?
I guess I'll go first because I think it's a very inspiring story. I pretty much suck at games. I'll never be a pro player. So I might as well organize the tournaments if I can't win them. That was my mentality. That's when I realized I'll never be a pro Super Smash Brothers player. But real talk, I know, inspiring, right? You're not good enough, so...
Perfect. I'm right there with you. Like, I missed my time. Like, Painkiller was the only game, Quake 2, Quake 3 back in the day, and it's like, yep, I can't compete with them. And then League of Legends all came out, and it was just game over from there. It's like, nope, I can't compete with them.
I already went to tournaments, Smash Brothers tournaments, when I was in the Philippines. I used to live in the Philippines. And then when I came here, I went to my local tournament. I actually did okay. And the Smash director at that time said, hey, you did fairly well. You go to UBC. I could use a hand. And you know, it was just sure, yeah, I'll lend a hand. So I became the first Smash 4 exec. And then from there, I became director. And then this year, I ran for president. It really... my priorities changed, I think, over the years, where I stopped caring less about myself and the results I got, especially they were disappointing. and I started caring more about seeing other people getting super hyped about the game and just giving a reason of, you know, for people to go out and play and meet each other. So it started off really, you know, caring about the Smash community. And then now it's me more, you know, caring about just people in general at UBC, and it's growing into just gamers in general. And I want to give back to the community that, you know, has helped me grow so much, and it makes me so happy, pretty much. Yeah.
Who wants to go next? tell their story.
I'll go next. So for me, I think like a lot of people, you know, they start gaming, you know, when they're younger, you know, with their siblings or, you know, like on consoles and things like that. But for me, I actually didn't start gaming until after, basically after I graduated high school. I got my first taste of League of Legends at like the very end of grade 12. And then I kind of just like fell into a hole of playing League of Legends all day in my room. And after that, I was like, oh, you know, this is actually a pretty cool game. Like, oh, I wonder, you know, if there's other people who play this. And I had one other friend at the time that played. And during Clubs Day, on like, I think like the first few weeks of school, we were walking around. And I'm like, oh, there's a UBC Esports Association. So I just joined at first, like as an exec, you know, just to kind of see. I was like, oh, you know, I've always, you know, done student council. I like planning events and, you know, tournaments and stuff like that. And so I was like, oh, let me just join as an exec, you know, see what it's like to, you know, help out and volunteer at a club. And after that year, I was like, oh, you know, this is pretty cool. I think I'm going to try running for the director position. And I did get hired. And so that's what I did for the 2 years. And I really enjoyed my time being director because I think there's something so rewarding about, you know, seeing people come out to an event that you put so much, you know, hard work in. And people really enjoying it and just like feedback, regardless of it's like negative or positive, because, you know, you get to improve on, you know, what you've done. And the big event that we've had every year is the World's Viewing Party. And I think it's really rewarding to see that, you know, grow every year. And it's like at like 1 a.m. in the morning and there's still like, you know, 200 people that are willing to come out, you know, all the way to UBC where it's kind of in the middle of nowhere to, you know, watch the finals and, you know, kind of like eat snacks and like, you know, socialize with everyone. So yeah, there's just something really rewarding about that. And actually never considered really doing social media at all. But Mr. President was like, oh, hey, you know, like you do graphics. I think you should try and, you know, do the social media thing and marketing thing. So I was like, sure. So I decided to run and I got elected. So here I am.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, some of the best decisions I had, even in my experience, is just being like, sure, I'll toss my hat into the ring and see what happens. And it just leads to some great connections and you start finding more of that passion of what you actually do want to work on. And I mean, those social connections are what make people comfortable in a college. It's what people comfortable doing what they're doing and it makes them do things better. So I mean, kudos for you for even just choosing to go for it.
I guess I'll go next.
Sure. Shoot.
All right. I joined UBC Esports about 3 years ago, I believe, back when I was in grade 11 of high school. I originally got into esports from when I was just playing League of Legends because my friends wanted to do something. And I was just like, sure, I'll play this game. I'm really, really bad at the game. And then I eventually met my girlfriend who was running trying to get the esports club in my high school legitimized. And so I kind of agreed to help take on that role after she graduated. And that's kind of how I got into it. And I heard about this guy who was running a bunch of Smash who just finished grade 12 and his name was Kevin Deere. And I was just like, you know what? I want to do that. I want to like help grow my high school esports club too. And so that's kind of how I got into it at first. And then I became an Overwatch exec because that was the game that I was playing the most at the time. And from there, I became the high school program manager and here I am now.
That's great. And I definitely want to poke at high school esports and I want to know what it's like up in your area, but let's get to Kevin real quick.
Hey, my story is pretty uninteresting. But like the rest, like pretty much all of us, I started off by playing League of Legends and that was back in high school. And then just going into UBC, I was like, at the time I thought I was like semi-good. So I tried out for like one of the lower tier collegiate teams and then got on. I had like a pretty mediocre split, but I found the people that I was playing with like really interesting and engaging. So then in the following spring, I applied to join the executive team as a League of Legends executive. And then from there, I was like, okay, well, this is like a lot of fun, but I felt that I could be doing a lot more. And there was a lot of stuff that I felt like the club could improve on. And there was a lot of stuff that I felt like I had the right skill set for. So I went for Vice President of Human Resources. And then, I got in and it's been great so far. Like I've just been doing like stuff that I'm really passionate and involved about. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You know, it's funny because we all say like our stories aren't interesting, but it's going to be interesting to someone.
Like someone else is looking for how do I take that next step? What do I need to look at? And maybe there's a position or maybe there is a, oh, hey, there's a club at this place. I wonder what I can do. And like hearing other people talk about going through the same steps or being involved in your high school and then seeing where it takes you, like that's exactly everything that happens. Like I fell into leadership and management, and now like you can ask my coworkers and friends, like management theory is like one of those things that I bring up all the time now, because it's like, well, this book says this and this book says that, and like we can go down this road. But I mean, that's probably less interesting than the fact that at some point I had one interaction that actually put me down that road of growth and finding out where I needed to be and what I needed to be doing. So everyone needs to give themselves a little more credit about their story, and that it could be interesting to someone. And especially when you're talking like we're getting high schoolers playing esports and competitively and organizing competition around that, it's only a matter of time until like the middle school and junior highs or elementary and peewee leagues are showing up, and just all of that, all the way down to just like youth, go down to like YMCA and just see an entire LAN center set up just for youth playing esports or playing games. That's going to be a phenomenal day. I can't wait to see it. But yeah, so I keep going on about high school because it's now cropping up a lot in where I'm paying attention to on like Twitter and everything. And so I'm curious, what is it like up in the UBC area? About what level of organization are you all seeing, and what's your role in reaching out to them?
As of right now, we have a group of students who have created an organization called the Metro Vancouver Secondary School Esports Association. And this group has been the larger body for high school esports within Vancouver. And so what they do is they run, I believe, a fall season and the spring season consisting of games such as League of Legends, CSGO, Overwatch, Smash Brothers as well. And they run tournaments all around, and they reach out to a lot of schools. I believe we have currently almost 600 members in the Discord. And so that's kind of what it's like here in Greater Vancouver right now is, yes, there is a high school league up and running, and it's pretty great to see. Other than that, as high school program manager, we try to provide support to the more competitive teams, as well as helping coordinate HSL, which is High School Star League, and HSEL, which is High School Esports League. These are both national leagues that some teams from Vancouver schools will go compete in as well.
That's amazing. I, outside of one district in Oklahoma, I haven't heard of an actual organized league for high school competitions. It's a lot of scrimmages or like kind of self-proclaimed leagues that are just with like three or four rival schools. So it's cool to hear that that's already taken off to that level within your region. And how does that play into like your recruiting efforts or making sure that you're growing into from a high school league to a collegiate and competition environment?
We don't necessarily have the connection between the high school players to the collegiate players. Everybody is highly encouraged to apply, and we do try to keep an eye out for talent in games if we do see it. But other than that, I think that Amanda, who's run the League of Legends department, can comment on the competitive side of things more than I can.
I think the unfortunate thing is that at UBC right now, we currently don't have any, like, don't offer any scholarships, you know, for esports talent. But we have had, you know, a lot of talented players come to our school anyways. And last, I think 2 years ago, we opened up our League of Legends. Our signups for our League of Legends team open to everyone. And so there's a league that we all play in. I think it's a North American collegiate league called Collegiate Star League. And the registration for League of Legends is free, unlike some of the other games. And so I actually opened signups to everyone. And so I think we had like over 100 applicants for these teams. And so we have our very, very competitive team where we, you know, have the tryouts, and, you know, they have to dedicate, you know, part of their time to practice. And I guess they also have like the biggest winning prize pool. And that's That league is actually organized by Riot itself, and it's called like College League of Legends. So that's our top team. And then everyone under that plays in Collegiate Star League. And so we have teams that are pretty competitive to casual teams who kind of, you know, are just for people who, you know, want to see what it's like to participate in league and, you know, dedicate, you know, like 3 hours of their time for a best of three game, you know, every Saturday to see if, you know, it amounts to, you know, any prizing or anything at the end, and just to improve themselves as a player. So I think it's so I think not so much related to, you know, high school, but we try to promote this and push, you know, the league signups as much as we can, because I feel like it's a really great way for people to connect. And a lot of the teams that play together end up being really close friends. You know, they go out for food, and like, it's a really good way to, you know, for the community to bond. And even between teams as well, they scrim each other. And yeah, it creates a really nice like dynamic where, you know, everyone's playing and we're all like in Discord and just chilling and playing games.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's huge to have that level of understanding of where you need to be at and what you're connecting, or who you're connecting to, and making sure that you're harnessing both the competitive energy, like the hyper competitive, as well as the ones who are just not quite there but are trying to build those relationships and build that camaraderie within the club. I think I might have cut you off, Kaya. Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
I was going to say, I think that one of the big blocks currently to having a good bridge between our high school and collegiate system is the fact that UBC does not have any, does not offer any scholarships for their students for esports, unlike most of the United States.
And scholarships are, it's starting to be more of a growing trend, and like some of the early scholarships are just, I mean, depending on which school you're looking at, it could be considered a trap, where some people have a lot of apprehension about some of the scholarships that are being offered out there. But yeah, you have schools like Marysville and UCI and stuff like that, who are just like top tier esports, and their provosts and faculty have just bought in full in 100%, and that's what they want to be known for. And like one of the schools I interviewed not too long ago, they have like a cumulative student body of like 2,000 students, and yet now they're starting to step into that scholarship realm. So it's only a matter of time for you all, I'm sure. Let's talk about UBC as a whole. Like, how big is the club, and like, what's the growth been? What's the story of the what's the origin story for the association?
I guess I'll chime in for this one. Let's see. We were founded in 2010 by a couple of students, James Choi Notley, who you know, started the StarCraft Club, and then it evolved into the UBC Esports Association. And our peak amount of members was probably 800, maybe 900 members, probably a bit more.
That's a big club.
Yeah, yeah. I believe we're top three, the biggest club at UBC, just from comparing memberships from other clubs. And it's interesting because our membership doesn't force you to, you know, do anything, but it's just a lot of benefits. Some other clubs, it's like you're an exec or you're not part of the club, right? So being a member has different definitions, but for us, it's if you have a membership or not. So yeah, we are one of the largest clubs at UBC, which is already great in itself. And our growth has been, it was very, very fast and plateaued a bit, but I can guarantee you that this year it's going to be a big, big, big year for us, just because of the fact that we have our calendar packed with full, exciting events. We're targeting a lot of casuals this year, trying to grow the scene as much as possible. And the fact that UBC has taken a lot of attention to our club. So it's going to be a big, big year for us, yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what the school's involvement has been like and how they've been increasing their interaction with you all as it's gotten more popular?
Yeah, yeah. So the university president, Santa Ono, the UBC is part of APRU, which is the Asia Pacific Rim Universities, and they started this University Esports International Initiative, UEII, mouthful, a great initiative, nevertheless, where they hired these consultants named Entangled Solutions to do research on esports and what is the best way and the most strategic way to implement esports into their programs and their universities. This includes Tech de Monterrey in Mexico, huge university. UCLA was one of the founding members, Keio University in Japan, and UBC was the only Canadian representative in this international initiative. And I think this is very, very, very important because the research that they came back with was very interesting in terms of how to implement esports and how to play off our strengths as UBC esports. I think our strength really lies in our events and the size of our events. We've done huge viewing parties, massive tournaments, and we're just looking forward to expanding maybe some of our weaker areas. So far, we have nothing in terms of research. We don't have anything in terms of academics, and that's what we're starting to build off. It's a slow start because we are a big university. You know, we're 60,000 students. We're spread across two campuses, and working with UBC, I mean, obviously, when you're one of the bigger clubs at this huge university, they finally paid attention to us, and they're starting to legitimize us. It's a very slow process, but it's in the works. And I understand why it's a slow process, because, you know, huge university, a lot of recognition, and a lot of processes to go through. But it's been great working with them so far. Everybody's very excited for us to succeed. And yeah.
Has there been much notoriety amongst the student body, or like, what kind of attendance do you get from people who didn't know that you had an esports club on campus and start coming out to like the watch parties or even to come watch some of the tournaments? Is there much notice among the student body, or are they still also getting to know that that is a major club on campus?
I'd say that for those who know, they know, if that makes sense. The people that know UBC esports, the gamers on campus, I think they know about us, the hardcore gamers. I think what's really important this year, and that what we're aiming to do, we're actually partnering with UBC Rec, which is the association, like the official association for recreation at UBC, to throw on a casual esports event to introduce as many new people to esports as possible. Because I do think that, you know, the awareness isn't quite there yet. There are 60,000 students, I mean 50,000 students on our campus in Vancouver. And yet we only have, like, you know, we've peaked at 900 members, something like that. I think we can do a lot better. And I think it starts with the awareness. I think it's really, really important to target the first years, especially. And yeah, I mean, in terms of that, I think, you know, we've proven our place, though, in terms of, like, for example, winning the League of Legends Collegiate Championships back-to-back. In 2014 and 15, Amanda, please don't roast me if I get that wrong. But we've had a lot of recognitions. You know, we've filled up our student union building a couple times by throwing massive tournaments. So I do think we do have some recognition and some notoriety. But I do think that there's always room for improvement. Absolutely.
With a club that big, it's going to be amazing to see. It's got to be amazing to see the turnout for the events that you throw. And I know that there's some clubs and some colleges where they throw an event and they might get 10% of even their own club members showing up, and then just like a sparse smattering of anyone else wandering in and being like, oh, I guess this is a thing, and then turn around and walk out. So it's great to hear that the student body and like your club members are actually taking it to heart and saying, if we want this to be real, we have to support it ourselves. But it also helps to have a winning team to get that started, I'm sure. Is there other games that the club is playing in? Like, is StarCraft still being played?
Yes, sir. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that, yes, StarCraft is being played. We currently have a collegiate team for it. That's, yeah. I just wanted to say yes.
Okay. I thought you were going to, like, elaborate more. I asked for an update on the StarCraft department. Apparently, we got some, you know, decent players. I think we almost have a competitive team for every single game that we have here at UBC Esports. That includes Overwatch, Smash, League, Dota. I'll have to double check with CS:GO.
Yes, CS:GO, also StarCraft as well.
Well, there you go. Pretty much, you know, anything, you know, we got it. We even had a Pokemon Worlds. We have a top eight who made it at top eight at Worlds. So we have some pretty impressive players. And I think it's what's really, really impressive is that, again, we don't have any scholarships to begin with. So all this recruiting is literally, you know, either by chance or by us scouting or people just being interested in the club. Or just getting good while they're in the club. I think the competitive side has never been an utmost priority yet, but it's definitely been very, very helpful and a fantastic asset to UBC Esports. Yeah,
I'm definitely curious. Like, without that scholarship kind of being a good incentive to get someone else in the door, what amenities does the school have that is really appealing to get more people out there? If you've been able to convince or convert anyone to attend based off of your esports program?
Well, I think that something that's really important is just, you know, so some people want, it's not necessarily only about the money, but if they're already in the university and they want to do, and they want to play and they want to play good, right? People always, I think that's just the nature of esports in general. People want to prove that they're the best. And I think that's why, I'm just looking at Smash, for example. We have our top 10 UBC student power rankings, right? And there's no incentive. There's zero prize. The only thing that you get at the end is this cool little graphic that's posted on our Facebook page. And sometimes we have a video that shows the top 10 players just of UBC. And it gets very, very, very competitive. And people keep on coming back to tournaments. Not necessarily, again, there's no prize, but there's a lot of pride on the line. And I think for the, you know, the other UBC teams, I think at least for now, something that motivates them is that they're, you know, there's a lot of pleasure of being good at a game, being good on a team, being on a winning team. It builds confidence. It absolutely does. I think that's one of the main benefits of playing competitive video games is that, you know, no matter who you are, right, as long as, you know, at the end of the day, if you can say, you know, at least I'm good at this game, then maybe you think you can do, you can have the confidence to do well in other things in your life. Yeah.
I have a little bit to add on to that. I think like right now, like worldwide, I think there's still, you know, only a few schools that provide, you know, scholarships for, you know, have esports programs. So I think that UBC being a very like well-known and prestigious school, students do want to come, and we do have, you know, pro players that have, you know, come from UBC, have, you know, that are UBC alumni. So like, you know, people like Bob Chin, you know, he's playing in the LCS now, he's kind of retired to be a content creator. People like, you know, even to this day, people still ask about him. And I think it's been like a good, like, I think 5 years since he graduated. So I think just that, that fame or whatever that came from him, you know, kind of still lingers, and people still ask about him a lot. Like, when, you know, whenever they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, you're from UBC Esports, do you know Bob Chin? And I'm like, I don't know him personally, but, you know, I he did play for a League of Legends team. So yeah,
that's a great story. I just equate it to a lot of those, oh, I followed such and such player through their college career, like for basketball or football, and a lot of the traditional sports, you get a lot of those old timey memories. I knew them before they were big kind of thing. And to hear that that's already kind of happening with some esports celebrities of sorts, like, that's pretty cool. And that's definitely, if it's already feeding into a little bit of that, what's the word I'm looking for? A nostalgia of what competitive esports was at this point, or even 5 years ago. That's just going to be a more powerful wave as everything gets going, as more scholarships become available, and your recruiting efforts really become like that next tier of efforts to build UBC esports. That's going to be a cool moment to be living through and being a part of building or having set the foundation for that if it happens after you all graduate or after you've moved on from the club. The next bit I'm always fascinated with is, Arno, you mentioned that you were the president for this year, but it sounds like that there's a ongoing rotation of who has to be president each year. And what is that sense of longevity and transition like? What's the planning around that? I know it's planning what's going to happen in this year and the early semesters, what events are you throwing? What's going on? How are you organizing, getting the new students in and prepping for any of the competitive seasons? But that spring semester isn't that far away. Finding out who's going to run the club next year, who's going to be taking the executive positions next, and making sure that they're groomed and ready. Some schools have a lot of problems with that. Some schools have a playbook, and it's just the Bible of every note, every meeting that's ever been done, all of their business associations and partnerships. So what's UBC's take on transition and making sure that the club exists next year, 3 years from now?
I have very, very strong opinions on this. So I think, but I want to let maybe Kevin or maybe Kai or Amanda speak first, since I've talked a lot so far. So I'll let them speak first. Yeah.
Okay. I'll speak up. It's been a while. So it's actually a funny thing. I was actually talking to Arno about this, and I think I'll probably cross over with some of his points that he'll talk about later on, but pretty much, I've only been in a club for a couple of years, so I really haven't seen the long-term cross-section of that. But one of the things Arno said that really struck me was that we need to keep hiring fresh blood. So the one thing that I noticed about this club was the culture and the atmosphere seems a little bit different from previous years. And that's because we have all these fresh people. For example, personally, when I was conducting the recruiting process for executive members, I was recruiting a lot of first-time people. I'm talking about some people who have never even played games more than casually. These are people who are interested in the scene. And I think that's so exciting because it shows that there is some sort of vested interest in esports, even if you're not really that ingrained into the environment yet. So for a lot of the recruiting for that has been looking at people who can keep the club going after the old guard leaves, and then kind of instilling our values and what type of direction we want to take the club in. So that's kind of my 10 cents on transitioning and all that.
I definitely like the incentive to get the new blood, or even the people who are super casual right now or just getting into gaming. I don't think you can get an earlier demographic than that until you're reaching out to high school and junior high and middle school. And you're already kind of doing that. You're already getting a lot of that infrastructure set up around you, and it's feeding into that. So, you're already in a great place with notoriety, big classes coming in each year, a big club with success behind it. You're primed and ready to have that next wave of freshmen come in and welcome in 1,000 more students into your club. So I am hoping to hear a 75% growth in club participation in the next few months when your semesters break off.
Oh, that's the goal, really. I think targeting first years, super, super important, because the younger they get, the more games they play, the better they seem as well. I don't know. These youngsters so good at games, goddamn. But I guess just to, answer your question about the longevity of UBC esports and this rotation with elections. To me, I've seen it all. I'll bring Kevin Deere up as an example. Kevin Deere is my mentor. He's the one who pretty much started BC Smash by running, high school tournaments when he was in high school. He founded, UBC Smash Brothers. He ran 3 national tournaments, Battle BC 1, Battle BC 2, Battle BC 3, at UBC. He flew out pro players. He's a legend, but he's such a legend that the 1 year where he left, to be some other position on the club, UBC Super Smash Brothers Melee it just died pretty much. And no one can, fill in his shoes, because there was, no one ever needed to say, oh, let me help you out. And because Kevin didn't need help. Kevin did not need help, right? So it's important that we train those first years because we're not going to be here in a couple years, right? Everyone graduates at some point. Another issue is that, you know, the level of consistency that a university club can get. And I've heard this problem with other university clubs as well, where one year you could have a fantastic team, like this year, my beautiful team. But I don't know who's going to come next year, let alone in 2 years or 3 years. What if they try to, you know, do these positions for the wrong reasons? You know, things can evolve, things can change, and it's very, very, very unstable. When you have people switching in from one position to another, another thing is just like, you know, with real elections for politics, is that whole re-election period where the spring semester may be less about events and more about, man, I hope that I get elected for this position later. So that could decrease the value of the club, as well as on the contrary, is when you start getting into this new position, the transition period can be very, very, very tough. I mean, for instance, we had to literally rehire every single person from the ground up and run a bunch of interviews and read a bunch of applications. I mean, Kevin, you can attest to that. It was a lot of work. Our team is 40 people, and we're trying to cut it short this year. We're just going to add probably a couple first years to our executive team. But it's a lot of work. It has to be done. But I think something that would be more important than scholarships at this point would be, you know, some permanent positions to UBC Esports, because those are the ones that will make sure that, you know, regardless of how well the teams are doing, regardless of which students are leading the club, at least there'll be some level of consistency if there are some permanent positions dedicated to esports at UBC. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it goes. Like, it's almost just that roll of the dice to see what's going to happen next. Like, some schools have talked about eras from the golden child who has led the club, but he's just taken on everything and seems to be successful at everything. And when that person goes, so goes the vision, so goes the execution. And then it's maybe another year or two before another student sets in and they kind of create a new thing where maybe it was about community 1 year and then competition the next year or the next several years. And so you get those flux and flows of not only just who's going to be a good leader, but then what are their priorities and how do you maintain that momentum after having a good year when they leave? When you don't have that vision or you don't have that visionary motivator to get other people involved. And that's one of those pitfalls where I kind of go, okay, college X, when are you going to have a faculty member who's going to be helpful and help maintain a direction or help maintain a goal while the students help emphasize the core pillars of what the club is like that year? So I love talking longevity. I love talking about organization and rules and how the students have chosen to govern themselves. If there was a good way to describe how the club kind of runs itself just by participants, how would you all describe your club?
I can kind of throw in a bit here, and then if anybody else wants to chip in. Well, in terms of like how the student body helps us decide like what direction we want to take, it's mostly just like, as of now, since like we don't, like as we mentioned before, we don't have the research in place, but like once we do get like this information, like why are you in the club, like what's the reason you want to join, and like what do you want to do in the club, then I think from that point we can start like taking more of a focused point in terms of like our direction. And like how the student body helps in like a more general sense is like we're like, I speak for myself, but probably like every single member of our executive team, but like we're doing this because of the students, because we want to make other people feel the same way that we feel about esports. And we can do that because we feel the same way and we know how to enable that. But yeah, that's me.
I think I can add on a little bit. I think because gaming is like kind of like, you know, competitive by nature, I feel like friendly competition is what really like fuels the community. And I think, you know, our weekly events, so like our things like our in-houses and, you know, our Smash weeklies, I think those are like the things that, you know, really kind of, I think because they repeat all the time and they happen often, you know, people come out every week and that, you know, that's really what connects you to community, you know, just by interacting with them a lot. And so I feel like those weekly events are, you know, the things that, I think it's really the thing that's like the glue almost like that, you know, keeps, you know, the community together. And of course we like the bigger events as well. We see more people, but yeah, like I think the closest community members are like the ones who attend our weeklies. And I think it's always like the best, it's like a friendly environment that, you know, you can, you know, compete, you know, play games and, you know, really get to talk to people. And it's like usually a smaller group of people, that are, you know, closer to EBC or people who are able to come out every week. So I think just by like pure, like frequent amount of interaction, you're really able to get to know the group of people really well.
I like it. And it definitely, and chiming in off of something Arno said earlier and what you were saying, Amanda, is like, it sounds like community first, then competitive nature, but there's always a little bit of that underlying within everything. And I mean, that's the FGC in general. Like I picked up Tekken back in November and I've had some of the best players in Seattle kind of come out and be like, oh, you should focus on this combo, focus on that. So as much as there is that competitive, I want to win, there's a lot of that I want to help other people win too. And it sounds like that's alive and well within your organization. Thinking about what else is going on with UBC, it sounds like there's a lot of events. You have your gaming lounge going on. It sounds like a really active community and club moving on from weekly events to, I'm assuming, some bigger events that you throw with, like you mentioned, some big tournaments and everything. So what are some of the highlights of the year? Do you have any repeating events that come back that's just kind of tradition at this point? Or is it kind of playing each year, a year at a time?
Well, I mean, you know what? I'm just going to give you the laydown of our calendar. Jumpstart, it's a program for first years right before they start school. We're going to be boothing there. We have our own games room. So that's, you know, our first point of contact with the first years. Imagine Day, it's the first day of school. Thousands of students are on campus and there's no school. It's just to visit the clubs. So we're going to be boothing there. Clubs Day, another boothing opportunity. That's later in September. Icebreaker is usually first week of October. Huge event where we start off with this huge presentation of all our big events of the year. And then we break up into multiple games. And each game department has their own activities. Really great event, really fun time. And then we have obviously our League of Legends viewing party for Worlds. That's early November. And that's one of our biggest events where we just fill up a whole room. And depending on where the finals are taking place, last year we filled up the Nest, you know, 300-400 people. And it was 2-3 a.m., right? So that's like the level of dedication of some of these people, but also the legacy of that event, right? Because if people hear about, oh yeah, this was so much fun, you gotta go. It doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m., you gotta go. There's only one way to watch the league viewing party, right? Late November. Oh God, I don't know if I can say this.
Probably don't.
Late November, we have something. It's getting announced very, very, very soon. It's going to be fantastic. I don't want to get in trouble or else someone in the club might murder me. In game, of course, only in game. I won't say which game because that's a spoiler. January, we have that UBC recreation event that I was talking about. So it's all going to be about bringing the casuals, really. And then February is usually UBC Cup, where we run all of our tournaments. So every single game department runs their own big tournament. Some of them are LAN, such as CSGO, it's just Smash, and some of them are online as well. And lastly, this year, we are introducing a new event. It's going to be a sort of expo, a sort of industry night. We're We're still working out the details, but it's going to be in March, and that's going to finish off our year for UBC Esports. So as you can see, we pretty much have one big event every month for the whole semester, excluding final season, which is December and April. So we got our hands full. And that's not counting all the initiatives that the game departments, you know, like, hey, I want to do this tournament in 2 weeks. So boom, we got to do it. Or sometimes things come up and there's a big collab going on. So it's exhausting. It's a lot of work, but it's definitely so rewarding. At least from my experiences as a Smash Bros. Director, it is so rewarding to just see all these people come out, play games, be happy, make friends, and to all just talk about something that, you know, people are really, really passionate about. And I think that's a very healthy way to play video games. We're always talking about, oh, are video games healthy or not? But I do think that there is a healthy way to play, and it's playing with people, honestly, and embracing your interests, really. So yeah, busy schedule. A lot of events. Yeah,
that's phenomenal to hear that you already have a calendar full of events and that there's going to be more along the way. I'm looking forward to your November announcement, and I hope that when it goes out, you all think about reaching out and just putting out a little line in the next podcast whenever that is going out. So you all are more than welcome to come back and just drop a line whenever there's any major announcements that I can help boost the signal with, which I am just over the moon about helping clubs with. So it's great that you have a packed schedule and lots of plan for the new blood, the new players joining in. A new challenger has arrived kind of deal. And I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to do some shout outs and call out who's been exceptionally helpful or just great partners in helping run a club. You all seem like you're running a really tight ship and that you know what you're doing, and you're doing a lot to focus on your community and a greater community, even outside of the campus, which is always great to hear. Is there anything that is just burning that needs to be said about your club before we go into shout outs and sign offs, just so that everyone knows what UBC really has going on and like the spirit of what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, just for me, I guess basically to TLDR it, UBC Esports kind of saved my life. Like a little bit of over exaggeration, but my first year was pretty rough for me. And it wasn't until like I joined the club and I started meeting all these really awesome new people that I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. And I forgot to mention that in like how I became a part of the club, but that was a pretty big driving factor. And I think what I'm pretty proud of is, in terms of recruiting, it's something that I like genuinely take pride in, like recruiting all these like fresh new people who are like bringing the really good ideas. Like a lot of our executives, they're going above and beyond like what I expect them to do and what we've like settled their responsibilities to. And it's just like so fulfilling to see that like people are having an interest. And I can think of like a couple off the top of my head who don't have any connections with gaming, like very minimal, and they're doing like so much work for the club. And it's something that I'm very proud of. And like the idea of making this a career excites me, but also scares me, because up until now, I've always had my eyes on like getting a job in computer science, like becoming a software developer or whatever. But like now, like I see that esports is such a big thing. It's like bigger than I could ever be. But like I also kind of want to ride that wave. So I'm a bit at a crossroads, but like it's super exciting, and like I can't wait to see what UBC Esports can do this year.
I'll just chime in after Kevin. After I had a conversation today with somebody who is in their mid-40s, and I kind of had this talk, and it just kind of reminded me of what Kevin said earlier, that esports has become something so much bigger, and we aren't just a club of gamers just playing video games. We're like a community, we're friends. This is kind of like, esports has become my family almost over the past 3 years, and it's a club that has, like Kevin said, basically saved my life. And I don't know where I would be without it. And we're kind of like this really big family. I mean, I call my executives children, and I'm just really appreciative of this club existing.
I have one last thing to add. So I think for me, I joined UBC Esports in my first year. I guess I really didn't have a great high school experience. And so a lot of my friends, I guess acquaintances from high school, I just didn't really talk to anymore after university. And so me and my best friend joined UBC Esports, and that's basically how I met like all my friends from now. And I know you were talking about like Smash 4 at the very beginning. I actually met the girl who was behind it all. And yeah, she's really amazing. Taught me so much about photography, video, and she's so helpful, and I love her so much. And I think she's also interested in doing a podcast with you. So she will be DMing you, hopefully. But yeah, perfect. I just wanted to shout her out because she works so hard, and that Smash 4 doc is really amazing. And I think it's great that, you know, this thing that's so misunderstood has now, you know, kind of like put us on the map of like, oh, look, you know, we're not a joke. And I'm really glad that, you know, UBC Esports was able to be, you know, a part of the doc. So.
Arno, you got anything? You figure anything out? You questioning life, the universe, and everything?
Such a big question. You know what? If there's one thing that UBC Esports has done for me personally, and if you're listening in, it can do for you, or just collegiate esports in general can do for you, and that's build true confidence. It's taught me how to get good at something from the ground up, because I'm not gifted to be good at video games. I've taken 40 pages of notes on one character in Super Smash Brothers, and my habits, my bad habits of, hey, you shouldn't do this at this point. Looking at my mistakes, it's changed my whole mentality, really. And that was just playing competitively. And I wouldn't have done it if there wasn't, you know, these great people, this great community. But another thing I think that's even more important is that it's given me a net to fall back on, a second family, really. And I think that's just the gaming community in general, is that, you know, they might not all be my best friends, but they've always been there for me. Going a bit on maybe the more personal side, I was going through some tough times. One of my family members just died, and I made the mistake of telling my classmates about it. And they kept on asking me, hey, are you okay? Hey, are you fine? Are you doing all right? And you know, like after maybe like 2-3 days, I started getting really tired of people just treating me differently. Saying that, hey, are you all right? Because I appreciate the concern. But at the end of the day, I needed to move on. And I went to the club. I played some Smash. And, you know, I told some of them. And the approach was completely different. It was more of, what do you want? And I was like, I just want to move. So we didn't talk about it. We just talked about the game. We just played the game. And if you ever, you know, want to feel normal, if you ever forget, want a real break, a real de-stress, I would definitely recommend collegiate esports. There is so much that it brings up to the table. I think it's really the healthiest way to play video games, 100%, without a doubt. It's because it's, you know, it's social, and you know that's. That's really what it's all about, yeah. Sorry for the vague answer.
No, it's perfect. Yeah. It's elaborating on another angle from what each and every one of you have said, is just how important this community has become to you. And it's just proving the power of what can happen locally on your college campus when you're there for such a short period of time in the grand scheme of things, and where it's leading the connectivity to, from one college to another, to the organizations that will then organize the major competitions and the conventions, like the NACE convention that had a bunch of members come out and participate in that, or even the Discord servers with all the leadership and educators coming together to talk about how can we do this together and how can we best enforce our own growth and make sure that this is healthy for everyone. You're building community first. That's the big difference between traditional sports and esports right now. It's been about community, and you're all carrying that torch forward. And it's something I'm immensely proud of to hear about, to make sure that people are hearing that. So I started it with a thank you, ending the podcast with a thank you. It looks like UBC can be found on most social media at UBC Esports or on Instagram at UBC EA for Esports Association. But you all are out there in so many different facets of the community. Keep doing what you're doing. Did I miss anything? Is there anyone else that you want to shout out, or ways that people can get in touch with you or your organization so that they know where they can go if they need an awesome watch party or a tournament to participate in?
Honestly, I think, you know, if you want to find UBC Esports, you just Google UBC Esports, and we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Follow our Instagram. Maybe a couple shout outs to some really, really cool people that aren't here. Shout outs to Alex Charm, our VP external. He's been working super, super hard to get us some fantastic sponsors. And he's been just meeting after meeting, call after call. He's been doing a fantastic job. Shout outs to Kevin Deere, my mentor, who organized BattleBC 1, 2, 3 and has taught me pretty much everything from the ground up, and to this day still gives me advice about the club. And shout outs to my successor, Jared, who has been working extremely, extremely hard on the Smash department and making sure that, you know, it stays alive. And it's not an easy job, but he's doing a fantastic job. Yeah.
I'd like to give a special shout out to Annie Chang, who is the new Gaming Lounge manager. She has been working so hard, and she has been learning so fast and trying really hard to catch up with everything knowledge-wise for the server and for how the Gaming Lounge has been running. And she's been transiting and commuting like hours every single day and coordinating groups, people to come in and fix the lounge. The Gaming Lounge looks amazing, and I am so excited for the students to be able to come see it in September.
I'd like to shout someone out. Again, I kind of briefly mentioned her earlier, but the girl who made Smash Forward. I feel like it's such an amazing doc that, you know, really gave us, you know, UBC Esports a lot of publicity. So I want to shout her out. I think she can be contacted at Smash Forward or her Twitter. And I also want to shout out, wait, my mind just went blank. Okay, I'm just going to pretend that never happened.
Okay, sounds good. All right, well, I appreciate you all taking the time to talk with me. I hope that you all have a successful kickoff to your year, and that your events go swimmingly, and that that new class coming in joins your club and really helps support you up even inside the school and with the faculty supporting you even more, and start talking scholarships and how you all can grow your community to be tighter and bigger going forward. And thanks again for coming out and chatting with me.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you so much for hosting this.
Thanks everyone, have a nice night.